And they begin to do miracles, different kinds of miracles, but there'll be miracles being done by the false Christ. And because he says the things they want to hear, and the witnesses say the things they don't want to hear, who do you think they're going to follow? The majority are going to follow the one who speaks the things they want to hear. The same thing today. Where do all the people go to church? They go to church at places where they say things people want to hear. In fact, churches are always working on crafting their message so that it's more acceptable and more entertaining. You know, that's the thing, is if they aren't willing to compromise the gospel, which many are willing to compromise it, they will use other methods to try to draw people in, which to me is not being transparent. And I don't want to get into that. I discussed that in the book of 2 Corinthians. The sincerity and the transparency. You know, without clouding things with deception, as far as when we try to preach the gospel, not trying to like, oh yeah, let's play some games, man. Let's go play football. Hey, you ever hear of Jesus? You know, and that sort of thing where it's like, you know, seduce people with worldly things and get them to come to events based on, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then bait and switch, here's the gospel. I don't like that. Because when you give someone nice, something nice, they feel like they got to be polite. So they'll listen to you very uncomfortably. And it's really, you know, I would rather speak the gospel so that those people who are ready to hear the gospel would say, nah, I want to hear that message because I want to know what he's saying. And the people who would come to listen would have a reason for listening. Verse 67, then they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? They're spitting on him, and, you know, here they are in the midst of these religious folks, and they're all spitting and slapping and punching and joking and saying things. Verse 16, and now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. I do not know the man, with an oath, though. I swear it. By God, by heaven, by the temple, by the altar, I do not know who this man is. And after a while came they unto him that stood by, and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You sound like a Galilean to me. Then began he to curse and to swear. No, to me, what is it? If I know him, I'm cursed. I swear it. By heaven, I don't know who he is. If I know him, let my head roll. If I know him, let my teeth be plucked out. We think of cursing in the sense of foul language. I think it meant he started laying curses on himself. Because that's what the, you know, don't swear, don't curse, we cuss. You know, I don't really think our sense of using guttural language is really the idea. We call that swearing. But only because some of the words were used to swear, like damn. When we say damn, that's a curse. Damn it. Damn me. You know, what you would say is, if I, you know, the way you would say a curse would be, look it, if I'm not telling you the truth, let lightning strike me down. That's a curse. And if you say, by heaven I swear, meaning bring it into witness, that is an oath. And foul language is really an entirely other object. And it's spoken of, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But we've kind of lumped it all together with swearing, cursing, cussing, and foul language. But it's really a different dynamic. We've kind of lost that, not entirely, I mean, but he began to curse and to swear. He was taking oaths and cursing himself at the same time, saying he didn't know Christ. I don't know him. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he had said in him, before the cock crow, you will deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He that denies me before men will I deny before my Father in heaven. Those words no doubt also ringing in his ears. Because Jesus never stopped believing. But for fear of his own soul, his own body, you know, his own self, he was afraid to be brought in with that. You know, he sees these things happening to him, and he was afraid at that moment. I know there have been many times in my life, maybe even now, where that kind of a situation being brought before me, I might shirk away from it. I mean, Lord knows. You know, like, let's say you walk up and you see a bunch of guys laughing and mocking and sort of making fun of Christianity. Do you burst in and then start defending it? And they start talking about stupid Christians and so on and so forth? I mean, do you really, are you ready for it? Let's say there's a Christian being mocked and I know a lot of people who are courageous and come into those situations. I'm just saying, those are little situations. And I admit, I've had times where I've shirked away from these discussions because at that time I did not want to endure reproach. And no one likes to be reproached for anything. And so it is natural that Peter would shy away from it. Remember, God, the hand of the Lord was in this. Christ was to be forsaken by all, to be alone in his crucifixion. As far as they have no comfort with him, no one to endure the suffering with him. All his disciples forsaking him. Yeah, they came to him at the cross, but that's the end. All this in-between stuff took some time, and it was very painful to go through. And so it is not to be discounted at all. You know, that is what you call restraint. To him standing there as God, to be able to withstand all this mocking and be obedient to the will of God, having the ability to escape it. Because for one, he saw it coming. For two, there was power available for him to release himself from it. But he chose rather the path of obedience and humility. To be humiliated, which is a step beyond. But he did not shirk from it. Though he was sorrowful, though he felt forsaken, yet he did the will of God.